You cannot ask God to lead you to a mate if you have no standards.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why high standards should replace your low expectations.
If you're only good to be picked up, then let Satan find somebody to pick you up. But if you are a woman of dignity, of class, and of character, then you're not a piece of cloth to be used. You are a daughter of the King to be honored.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Sometimes, as singles get more eager to be married, they get more willing to compromise their standards. Today, Dr. Evans will talk about that danger and offer a time-tested biblical strategy for those who are serious about finding the right partner. Let's join him.
With divorce, we have a generation of single parents who are raising children alone. With the secularization of culture, the view of marriage is no longer held in its historical esteem. So for many single people, what they don't need is a mate. What they need is a miracle. They literally need the divine intervention of God to address the problem, because the natural processes do not allow for it. Might I suggest to you today that if you desire to be married and you do not feel that your singlehood is related to calling or preference, that because the natural processes have been interrupted by sin, secularism, and circumstances, that what you need is fasting and prayer. Now, some of you may believe I'm getting out of hand with this subject. As I meditated on this subject, I asked the Lord to give me something that would encourage those who are single especially, and even those who are married who have single people in their families or that they are related to. And as God always does, He always has a passage. In Genesis 24, we read this verse. We read in verse 31, and he said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" So the man entered the house. Laban unloaded the camels. He gave straw and feed to the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. But when food was set before him to eat, he said, "I will not eat until I have told my business. I will not satisfy my body until I have seen my prayer answered." He makes a statement of denying the flesh food in order to get from God a mate, because he needed a miracle. Now, we don't have time to go through all the idiosyncrasies of the story, but let me give you a few introductory facts. Abraham is concerned that his son is not married yet. Isaac is 40 years old and either has not found any wife or most certainly has not found the right wife. So if you are 40 years old today and you are still single, don't feel that bad. Isaac is 40 years old, and Mrs. Wright, as far as he can see, has not yet come along. This leads to a process that I offer you, those who are single in particular, because the Word of God, as we have seen in this series, teaches that when you need a breakthrough, when the normal processes do not work and you need a miracle, fasting and prayer is the road to take. If you are going to fast for a mate, it will involve four things that need to come alongside of your fasting as you wait for your miracle. First of all, fasting involves commitment to God. Abraham, at the beginning of chapter 24, calls his servant, who he's going to send out to look for a wife for his son. He says at the end of verse 2, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites, who among whom I live. You shall go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. Abraham recognized that finding a wife and finding the right wife was going to take God. And so he says, I want you to swear by your commitment to God. Now, this commitment to God was covenantal. God had made a promise to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, that he was going to make of Abraham a great seed. Well, the question is, how can I have a great seed if my son doesn't even have a wife? So his concern was God's person, swear by God, and God's program. Not only that, but he said, do not take a wife from the Canaanites. Now that narrows the field a little bit. Not only are you going to tell me, don't take it from the Canaanites, you're going to say, narrow them to my people and people who are connected to my relatives. When you're single, why narrow the field? Because you want God involved in this. Now, what did it mean to not marry the Canaanites? It meant not to be unequally yoked with sinners. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says it plainly, verses 14 to 16. Be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? If you want a miracle from God in locating a mate, you get on your knees during your fast and you say, God, I am committed to you, and I'm so committed to wanting you involved in this process that I want you to know I will not enter into an intimate relationship with a non-Christian. And so the first principle is there was raw commitment to God. Secondly, fasting involves not only commitment to God, but when you fast for a mate, it involves confidence in God. Look at verse 7. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angels before you, and you will take a wife for my sons from there. You know what he says? He says, if you follow God, he's going to lead you to the lady. Guess what he assures him of? He assures him of divine guidance. And so, how do we know the servant had faith? Because he didn't stay home. I want you to notice something. How do we know he had confidence that God was going to lead him? Because his life was full of prayer. And remember, fasting always involves prayer. His life was full of communication with God. Look at verse 12. And he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master. Look at verse 27. Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way of the house of my master's brother. He prayed specifically, and let me show you how specific he prayed. Now watch this now. Verse 13, I am standing by a spring, and the daughters of men of the city are coming to draw out water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may also be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. He didn't say, Lord, bless me with a woman somewhere around here. In other words, he got real specific when he thanks the Lord for blessing him in verse 27 for his specific guidance in a specific situation that led him to a specific person. You know, we say the statement, there are plenty of fish in the sea. But the problem is, there's plenty of fish in the sea, but I don't know the one that's going to work for me. I don't know the one that's going to be compatible for me, because you know how it is. They can look at compatible up front when you're dating. But then you marry them and you think you think you got a trout and you wind up with a swordfish. Trust him for it. Now, he couldn't stay home. He had to go out. He had to move, but it was in the movement. Thirdly, fasting for a maid involves character before the Lord. Not only commitment to the Lord, confidence in the Lord, but character before the Lord. What does he ask her to do? He says, I'm going to ask her for water. And the one who says, I'll also feed the camels, I'll know something about her. Why did he ask for that? Well, look at the story. It came about before he was finished speaking. Oh, I like that. Wouldn't you like God to answer your prayer for a mate before you finish speaking? How about before I even finish speaking? And behold, according to verse 15, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, came up, and the girl was very beautiful. No man had had relationships with her. She went down to the spring and filled her jar, came up. The servants ran to meet her. Please let me drink a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. When she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw also from your camels until they had finished drinking. Now, I want to show you four things from this passage about this woman's character. Because if you want to find the right person, you need to be the right person. Did you hear that? You can't be a compromising, half-stepping Christian talk about, God, give me a spiritual giant. If you want to find the right person, you must be becoming the right person. Number one, we discover she was a virgin. So she was committed to moral purity. She was not sleeping around hoping that one of the folks she slept with would ask her to marry him. She was committed to moral purity. I'd only known my wife 2 weeks when I told her I was going to marry her. It's a 2-week relationship. At the end of 2 weeks, I said, you're going to be my wife, okay? But let me tell you one of the major things when I knew I was going to marry her. After 1 week, we're getting to know each other. She was telling me about her commitments. And one of those commitments was to keep herself a virgin until she married. And that sparkled to me. There was a commitment of purity. You cannot ask God to lead you to a mate if you're swimming in the mud. You cannot ask God to lead you to a mate if you have no standards. If you're only good to be picked up, then let Satan find somebody to pick you up. But if you are a woman of dignity, of class, and of character, then you're not a piece of cloth to be used. You are a daughter of the king to be honored. What Satan has done, though, is he's taken the one tree God says you can have and caused you to miss the 100 trees you can have. That's what he did with Eve. He's so focused on the one thing you can't do that she missed all the other stuff she could have been enjoying that she could do. Don't let Satan and the sex-crazed culture that we're in get you so focused on the one thing God says don't do that you don't get to enjoy all the privileges and all the freedoms and all the experiences of what you can do under God.
As we've been learning, finding a mate can be a disaster if you don't find the right mate. And finding the right person begins by being the right person. Tony will teach you how that process works in his brand new book, The Kingdom Single. You'll discover why you're complete and whole just the way God made you, and learn how to be content and fulfilled whether you wind up married or not. This book will change the way you think about singleness, and if you contact us and request it right away, we'll send it to you as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount toward Tony's ministry. Get the details and make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org, or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message after this.
If you're like most Christians, there are people in your life who know you but may not know Jesus. You really want to do something about that, but don't feel equipped to share your faith effectively. In other words, maybe if you knew more, you could do more. Well, that's where the Tony Evans Training Center comes in. It's an online Bible school with classes that'll take you deep into the most important core concepts of the faith. You can start with our free introductory course on evangelism, then move on to subjects like spiritual warfare, marriage building, maturing in the faith, and many more. The content is challenging, but you can move through it at your own pace anytime you're online. There's also lots of custom content from Tony and an online forum where you can get your specific questions answered. Go to TonyEvansTraining.org and start your free intro course today. The Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
Secondly of all, she offered to feed the camels as well as to feed him. There are two things there, actually. Number two is she was kind. She was kind. She was a sharing person. She was not selfish. This is my water. You get yours. Anybody married to a woman like that? Cooking dinner and asking you what you're going to eat. He wanted the kind of woman who was going to be kind, sharing, unselfish. That's why he asked her. Who would offer the drink? But not only was she kind, she was also, thirdly, industrious. Camels can drink 25 gallons of water a shot. There are 10 camels. So that's a whole lot of work. She was industrious. She's a hard worker. She wasn't somebody that's just going to stay in bed and lay in bed all day, get the kids to school, lay in bed at 3 o'clock when the kids come home, slap a sandwich together. She was productive. So his requests aren't at random. They're designed to. So ladies, if you're dating somebody, put some things down that you want God to do to validate this thing. Vice versa, men. And he says in verse 23, please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? She says in verse 25, we have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in. She was hospitable. Hospitable. You could feel comfortable around her. She welcomed you, not repelled you. There's a place for you. He said, this is a woman of character. This is a woman of dignity. This is a woman of kindness. Finally, fasting for a mate involves confirmation by God. Fasting for a mate involves confirmation by God. There's so much here. He goes to the place. He tells them, I'm not going to eat till this matter is settled. And then he outlines in verse 34 and following the story that led him to her house. That God was in the process of working this out. And when they hear the story, because they too believed in the same God, Laban and Bethuel, verse 50, answered and said, this matter comes from the Lord. Behold, Rebekah, verse 51, is before you. Take her and go. In other words, when the Lord is in it, somebody else is going to see it. If you're the only person that sees she's the right one, something's wrong. You always want other people who love the Lord to confirm it, especially other people who are part of the family who love the Lord. Now, I'm talking about people who don't love the Lord. They don't have the same criteria. But if they love the Lord, look for confirmation by other people who love the Lord as a way of confirming to you that this is right, which is why in the Bible, the father, a godly father, always was involved in the marriage and the giving away of his daughter. It was a way of confirming it. So some godly person to confirm it. It was confirmed by the families. But he had also said it was confirmed by the circumstances. You know, the camels and all of that and how he wind up meeting her at the well. Now, let me tell you something here. There is no word from God in this story. No direct word from God. There are no prophecies in this story. No unusual circumstances in this story. You know what this is? The quiet leading of God. Sometimes God will may do something graphic, but this just came because he met her at a well and he happened to ask a question about a drink and she happened to ask it and answer it right. And in other words, it was just doing the movement of the walking that they hooked up. It was in the movement of the living that they hooked up. In other words, it wasn't something special. Some of you remember Kendra, a member of our church 10 years ago. She was sitting in her seat where she always sat every Sunday morning. A gentleman came in, and the church was packed that Sunday. He came in with 5 or 6 other people. They filled in the last row of the sanctuary, which only had 4 seats. So he had to be seated elsewhere. Kendra always came to church with her friend, but her friend called her that morning to tell her she was sick. One seat was open. The ushers led this gentleman down to the one open seat in the sanctuary next to Kendra. On that Sunday morning, I asked everybody to turn to their neighbor and pray. She could have turned left, but she turned right. They held each other's hands with one mind thinking about God. The other mind was thinking about good, googa, mugga, mugga, mugga. They introduced themselves to one another. They found a little spark there, but it was over. He was leaving the next day to go back to Washington, and that was that. Except when he left church, he and his six people went out to eat. And wouldn't you know it, of all the restaurants in Dallas, they chose by luck the very same restaurant that Kendra was eating with some of the members of the church that they decided at the last minute to go to at the end of service. On his way out, he said, look, I know this is presumptuous. You just met me. Would you mind if I got your number? She said, no, and I'd like to have yours too. A couple of months later, they were married. Why? Because when God is in it, it doesn't take long. The servant says, I would like permission to take her back. And they said, take her and go. Verse 24. Her brother and her mother said, let the girl, verse 55, stay with us a few days. Say 10. Then she can go. But he said, do not delay me since the Lord is in this. The Lord has prospered it. This is God at work. Don't delay it. Verse 57, we shall consult the girl and ask her her wishes. So what do you want to do? And they called Rebecca and said, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. Now, what's the problem in this story? Help me, somebody. She has not met the man. She doesn't know who Isaac is. But because she knows God, and because she's close to God, and because she knew God was in it, she said, I will go. Never met the man. And let me ask a question now. Is there such a thing as love at first sight? There is such a thing as love before first sight. That's a new one. I'm just talking about love at first sight. I'm talking about love before first sight because God has gotten so involved in it that all the preparation is made so that when the first sight occurs, what God has prepared automatically jumps out.
Dr. Tony Evans, encouraging us to put our trust and our relationships in God's hands. And stay with us because he'll come back in a moment to share some final thoughts to wrap up today's message. First, be sure to request your copy of that powerful new book I told you about earlier, The Kingdom Single. Remember, for a short time longer, if you can help us out with a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station, we'd like to send you a copy as our thank you gift. Again, this limited time offer ends next week, so be sure to contact us right away. All the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. You can also call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. A lot of singles know that waiting on the Lord to help you find the right mate can be really hard. On Monday, Dr. Evans will talk about a way to make that time pass faster and make it more productive in the process. Right now, though, he's back with these final comments for today.
I know you're tired. I know it's hard. There's a social problem going on. But you don't need to just flit all over the place. Just raise your spiritual antenna so you can pick up the God network and get in on what he's doing. Yeah, but you say, I'm in a hurry. I'm getting older. The clock is ticking. That's like the man who told the businessman that he was in a hurry. He was rushing. The man said, where are you going? He said, I'm rushing to catch my plane. The man looked at him and said, don't rush. Plane's not going anywhere. I'm the pilot. As long as God's the pilot, the plane's not going anywhere. Don't rush.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative. and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.